How we doing? Good deal. Happy Labor Day. Happy Labor Day. Thank you. Give me just a sec to get settled here. Open this up. My name is Chuck. I'm one of the associate pastors here at Christian Center of Fort Worth. Steve and Gay are on a very needed and very well-deserved vacation. They are in not-so-sunny Florida this week at Disney. I don't know what the weather is like there, but the forecasts have not been good. So let's make sure we remember to pray for them as they may or may not be having fun at Disney, the happiest place on earth. So let's make sure we're praying for them. I'm just taking a look, see who's all here today. Good deal, good deal. Hey, Ron, how you doing, buddy? Good to see you. Thanks. All right, so this is little backstory. I was at work Thursday night, about 7 o'clock? 7 o'clock in the evening, I'm working. I'm just getting my rear end kicked by trains all over the place. Terrible night, very terrible night. My wife calls. I didn't answer because I was busy. So she sends me an email. Call me with the 80s and 10 exclamation points. I'm thinking, oh no. You know, that's pretty serious. Her emailing me in exclamation points that works for Annette, that's pretty serious. I was like, hey babe, is everything all right? What's going on? Yeah, Steve and Gay are going to leave Saturday. You've got to preach Sunday. Cool. 2 days' notice is not a lot of time to prep a message. So I shot Steve off an email real quick and said, hey, I'm in it. I got it. I got your back. You know. And he goes, well, here's my notes for this weekend, you know, for Sunday. Preach them if you want or not. But this is the culmination of an 18-week series that he's been doing on sanctification. Yeah, no kidding. 18 weeks on the word or the thing of sanctification. And so I don't know if any of you have ever done anything like this or done anything, you know, public speaking, but doing somebody else's stuff, not easy. It's not easy. You can read a book and go, well, what does he mean by this? So I'm looking at his notes going, what does he mean by this? You know, going through it. And they left Saturday, so I never really had a chance to sit down and chit-chat with him, you know, just to cover some points and things I didn't quite understand, or maybe he could give me some clarification. So we're just going to trust the Holy Spirit this morning on that. Yeah. But he did give me, he goes, man, do what you want. If you've got something, go for it. And I thought, no, you know what? I'm going to honor you. I'm going to honor God, and we're going to close out these 18 weeks on sanctification. And, you know, I have his notes here. I've added some things and kind of tweaked some things just because it makes sense to me and flows for me a little bit better. So we're going to do that. But if you have a Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. And that's where we begin today. You know what? Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning, Lord. We are so, so in love with you. God, you are beautiful. You are amazing. You are an incredible, incredible God. God, we can do nothing without you. And we are nothing without you, Lord. We need you in our lives, as Aaron alluded to in the taking up the offering this morning. Our entire lives are from you to in turn give them back to you. 100% holding nothing back. But God, I pray specifically this morning that you use me, speak through me. If any of this is my flesh, if any of this is not of you, remove it. Close up the ears to not hear. But God, do give us open hearts and open ears this morning to hear your word and what you want for us. Not what man wants, God, but what you want. Because again, God, we can't do this without you. And Lord, we love you. We praise you. You're amazing. You're beautiful. Thank you for everything, God. Thank you for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, that was kind of a weak, ooh, I just heard the ladies. They're a bunch of high-pitched men. That reminds me, is Mike in here yet? Is Mike in here yet, Mitchell? No? He's not back yet? All right. Still decompressing back there. So have any of you ever heard of Tim Hawkins, the comedian? He says he's a comedian that's a Christian, but he's not a Christian comedian. He talks about worship leaders. And they were singing that song right before offering. And Mike got kind of real high, and I'm over there going, trying to get that, and I'm pulling a fat muscle trying to get that high note. But yeah, we can't sing those high notes this early in the morning, Mike. We barely had our first cup of coffee. You know, we really hadn't stretched out quite yet. You know, we got to kind of ease into that stuff. He's hitting those high notes, man. That kind of hurts. Just a little bit. Ephesians 2:8. Actually, you know what? Let's back up. Justification. Salvation. That's what justification is. Justification is when you accept Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior. Romans 10, I believe. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and you will be saved. Justification. Sanctification is if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're in process from that point until the day you see God in heaven. That is sanctification. It's an entire lifelong process. It does not end. We do not ever achieve it until death. So we have to keep striving for it. We have to keep working at this process called sanctification. And I know that word work, that four-letter word, is a dirty word in Christianity. But we'll hopefully clarify some things here shortly. And glorification. That is your eternal reward in heaven. Glorification is when we get our new bodies. Our new glorified bodies. We're in heaven all throughout eternity, worshiping God. Amen? Ephesians 2:8. God saved you by His grace. Whose grace?
His grace.
When you believed. Justification. At conversion. His grace when you believe. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us. Who created us?
God did.
He has created us anew in Christ, so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. These good things, that is the process of being sanctified or being made holy, Christian living. So we can do good things from conversion to the end. Good things. So we're going to redefine just a little bit those three words, justification, sanctification, glorification. We use some big words. Justification is righteousness imputed. I had to look that word up, imputed. Because normally we hear that word where? Does anybody know where you hear the word impute or imputed? Where is it used most? Court of law. A sentence is imputed or given. A sentence is given to someone who's guilty of something. All right? But it can also be a good thing. See, Christ's righteousness is given to us at conversion, at salvation, so in God's eyes, we're seen as righteous through Christ. It's imputed. Does that make sense? Sanctification is righteousness imparted. That is Christ in me. And that's us growing in this thing called Christianity, this walk that we're on. And glorification, that's perfection, new body imparted. That's us in heaven. The word sanctification means to make holy. To make holy, to be set apart, to be unique. This is a lifelong process. In Hebrews, and there's some back and forth on who the actual writer of Hebrews was. Some books say anonymous. Some attribute it to Paul because it's like looks a lot like what Paul would write and Paul would say. But in Hebrews, whoever the writer is, he's talking to people, and this alludes to the sanctification process. He says, look, you guys, and he's talking to the church, he's talking to Christians, you guys should be teaching this by now. Y'all should be up here teaching. But you're still on baby's milk. You're still suckling. You're still being breastfed. He's alluding to there is a process. Once we accept Christ, we don't stop there. That's where we begin. Amen? We don't stop at salvation. That's where life begins for us on earth. And we begin this process of sanctification or being made holy. To sanctify someone or something is to set that person or thing apart for the use intended by the designer. Who is our designer? God. We're the created thing. He is the creator. He has an intended purpose for all of us. How many of you, if you've saved, you've ever wondered or thought, and you can raise your hands because I've been there before, what is my purpose? What is the will of God for my life? What am I supposed to do? I've asked those questions. I've heard my children ask me those questions. I have a 27-year-old and a 23-year-old. Two girls, Jordan and Hannah. Probably both still asleep. To sanctify someone or something is to set that person or thing apart for the intended use by the designer. With God, we are sanctified when used for the purpose He intends. So when we are fulfilling the will of God for our lives, we are being sanctified or being made holy. We are walking out that purpose, that process. What was man set up? So God set us apart, not from the world, but to Him. I guess we just need to get that straight right off the bat. We're not separated from the world. We're separated or set apart to God to be used for His purpose, for what He intends for us, what He would like for us to do. You remember the good things we read about in Ephesians? The good things, the Christian requirements. Yeah? So what is God's intent for us? It's very simple. This is your purpose. This is all of our purpose and will on this earth. Because out of this purpose that I'm fixing to give you flows the works or the service or the things we put our hands to, the things we open our mouths to, the things we put our feet to. Okay? You were created to do one thing and one thing only. To worship Him. To give God glory. We've heard it said so many times, this book, the Bible, is an instruction manual for life. Kind of is, kind of isn't, more isn't than is. This book is all about Jesus Christ. From cover to cover, we see Jesus all through the Old Testament. They call it the scarlet thread. And then we see it all through the New Testament, obviously with the Gospels and to the end in Revelation. But this book is also about one thing, giving God glory for everything. This life and everything we do is all about His glory. Everything we do, everything we say, everything we put our hands to, everywhere we walk, everything we say, every word that comes out of our mouth is all for His, God's, glory. And to give Him glory and to glorify Him and Him alone. Period. Amen. So when I say the word worship, there's probably a few words that pop into your head. And we actually discussed this Monday night at Men's Bible Study. We're talking about worship for the next week or so. Worship is not music. It is not music. It is not a guitar, a piano, drums, the bass. It's not someone singing. That's not worship. That is an expression of worship. Just like when you put your hands to something, that is an expression of worship. Worship is to adore something. Worship is to honor something. Worship is to love and lift something up and make that the numero uno, number one thing in your life. Amen. So we worship God. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 11, and I want to just point out three verses. So we are created to worship. How? How? Through love. It's that simple. Oh, Steve's titled this message, I apologize. Love is sanctification. That's his title if you're writing anything or need a note. The title of today is Love is Sanctification. So we're created to worship. How do we worship? Through love. Deuteronomy chapter 11, and you probably don't have this, Adam. Sorry. Verse 1, you must love the Lord your God and obey all His requirements. How do we show, how do we worship? Through love. How do we love? Through what? Obedience. All His requirements. Everything He's asked us to do. Everything He's commanded from Genesis to Revelation. We love and express that love through obedience. Verse 13. If you carefully obey all the commands I'm giving today, and if you love the Lord your God, serve Him with all your heart and all your soul. So what's a, so we worship through love. What's an expression of that love? What's another expression? Service. We worship, we love by obedience and service. Skip down to verse 22. Be careful to obey all these commands I'm giving you. Show love to the Lord your God by walking in his ways and holding tightly to him. Created to worship. How? Through love. What is the expression of that? Obedience, service, and walking in his ways. Obedience, service, and walking in his ways. If we're doing any of those things without love, it's a waste of time. You're just spinning your wheels. They're good things, but they're not God things. We have thousands of people thinking they're doing a good thing, giving to charities, going to feed the homeless. Those are good things. They really are. But without the love of God and that love of God being expressed through those things, just hamsters on a wheel. We obey because we love. We serve because we love. We obey, serve, and walk in his ways because we love him, God. Romans 12, 1 and 2. We're still talking a little bit about worship. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Where's Dwayne? Is Dwayne in here? This is for you, brother. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, sanctified, holy, and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The least we can do is to offer our lives as a living sacrifice to God. It's the least we can do. Offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God. That is your spiritual worship. That is your spiritual worship. So I'm going to talk just a little bit about the intended use, what God intended. 2 Timothy 2:20, verse 21. Chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. You probably don't have this either, Adam. This is Paul talking to Timothy. He says, "Now in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some for honorable use and some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself for what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work." Every good work. The big words there are ignoble and noble. Ignoble is dishonorable. Noble is honorable. Before Christ, we had a dishonorable purpose. We didn't serve him. We served ourselves. We served the world. We served the enemy. But now, praise God, that we've been cleansed, amen, by Jesus through this process of sanctification, being made holy, Jesus has washed us, polished us up and polished us up and shined us, made us new. Remember, been made anew? We are new creatures in Christ. For honorable use, for good works. So let's not get this twisted. You cannot work for salvation. We read that in Ephesians 2:8 to begin. You can't. It's free. But now that we're saved and we're walking this out, there are works of salvation. Love, service, obedience, walking this thing called Christianity out with Christ. Before salvation, dishonorable, ignoble. After salvation, honorable, noble. We are being used for God's intended purpose. Post-salvation, honorable use. It is the Holy Spirit that does the sanctifying, not you. We cannot sanctify ourselves. This tab was made by Samsung. The designer and the creator of this tab set its value and what its purpose was. They didn't set this on the table and say, what are you doing? What's your purpose? They didn't set it on there and said, okay, tab, what's your value? We cannot make ourselves holy. The thing, person created, does not determine its use, nor does it determine its value. Our Creator determines our use, and the Creator determines our value. Amen? Y'all are awfully quiet this morning. 1 Corinthians 1:30. God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made Christ to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God, that's salvation, justification. He, God, made us pure and holy, sanctification, and He freed us from sin. Somebody's actually looking up 1 Corinthians 1:30. Somebody's reading it to them. It's good. Jesus freed us from sin. He did the work. How then can we make ourselves holy? We can't. Take a little sidestep here. So I've been wrestling with something here in the past couple of months about faith, about love, about worship, about these things we do, the requirements of, the walking through, the walking with. And everything God gives us, we in turn give back to Him. I think it came out in a prayer a little bit. Faith. We're all given faith, right? We're all given a measure of faith. All of us have that same measure of faith. But I looked it up in the Bible and I hadn't found it yet. There's very little faith for anything. But there's a whole lot of faith in God. Faith in Christ. We have faith in Him for His will to be done in our lives regarding all situations and everything that's going on, whether it be healing, financial, relational, whatever those things are. We have faith in Him. I see a lot of that in the Bible. I haven't seen faith for those things yet. I'm still looking. I'm not saying that's the end-all, be-all. I'm still looking for it. But we're given this faith from God to turn around and do what? Have faith in God. God gives us the ability to worship to in turn do what? Worship Him with our lives, the living sacrifice, Romans 12. Prayer, even prayer, our ability to communicate with Him comes from Him to do what? To return to Him. Our finances, Aaron alluded to it during an offering. Great word, Mr. Christensen. Very good. He alluded to it then. Everything we have is so we can be a good steward of what He's given us to further His kingdom, to show our love for Him, to show our obedience to Him. All of those things He gives us, and we in turn give it right back to Him. In Revelation, I keep spitting, I see little things flying out, sorry. In Revelation, it talks about, and there's a song, we lay our crowns down at the feet of Jesus. So we're on earth and we're doing all this stuff for Jesus, we're working, we're requirements of Christianity, whatever you want to call it. And we're doing all this stuff and we're building up crowns in heaven, right? I've heard of that, our eternal reward crowns. What are you going to do when you get there with Him? You're going to kneel down, you're going to place it at His feet, and you're going to worship Him forever. So if this life is practice for eternity, let's do that now and not wait till then. Thank you, Becca. Let's lay everything down. Ugh, stop doing that. Let's lay everything down now and practice what we're going to be doing for eternity. Lay everything down. Set everything down. We do not set ourselves apart to God. God sets us apart to Him for His intended use, His intended purpose, for what He's intended for us. That is to love and worship Him through our obedience, our service, our walking in His ways. We cannot sanctify ourselves. We are not the creator or the designer. God is. He does all of this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. And this is, we're still in Steve's point of the Holy Spirit does the sanctification, sanctifying. The Holy Spirit does. 2 Corinthians 2:13. As for us, we can't help but thank God for you, dear brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord. We are always thankful that God chose you to be among the first to experience salvation. Our salvation that came through the Spirit who makes you holy and through your belief in the truth. The Spirit who makes you holy. The Spirit who makes you sanctified or sanctifies you. 1 Peter 1:2. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago. You know, He chose you first, right? He chose you before you chose Him. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago. And His Spirit has made you holy. I'm not going to try and pronounce that word. Is that even up there? Yeah. Has made you holy. Whatever that is. Remember, this is Steve and his breaking stuff down. So, as a result, you obeyed. Obey. Obedience shown in observing the requirements of Christianity. Him, let me go back and read that without that part. As a result, you obeyed Him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more grace and peace. So it's the Holy Spirit that makes you holy, so we can obey and fulfill those Christian requirements. John 15, 4 and 5, very popular. Remain in Me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in Me. Verse 5, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in Me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from Me, you can do nothing. We have to remain in Christ to accomplish anything for the kingdom. We can't do anything outside of Christ and think we're doing anything for the kingdom. Remember, it's all about Him. It's all about you. When we remain in Christ, the sanctification, holiness, grows. Remember Hebrews? We talked about that just a few minutes ago. Whoever the writer is, guys, we should be teaching this stuff by now. But instead, we're still on milk. We need to let the process continue. Is it easy?
No.
Thank you. No, it's not. It's not supposed to be. Remember Romans 12, living sacrifice? How did Christ learn? Thank you, baby. Through the things He suffered. Our love grows. His love becomes our love. His love for the Father, His love for all people, His heart becomes our heart. A heart to worship the Father and a heart for people. When we remain in Him, our hearts grow for the Father. Our love grows for the Father. And as those things grow, our love and our heart for people grows as well. Amen? 1 Thessalonians 3:11. May God our Father and our Lord Jesus bring us to you very soon. And may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow. Your love for one another and for all people, not just the ones you like, not just the ones you love. What benefit is you to love the ones you love? Love the unlovable. Steve preaches that. Reach the unreachable. Teach the unteachable. Talk to the untalkable. Always reaching out. All people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows. May He, as a result, make your hearts strong, blameless, and holy, sanctified, set apart to God. As you stand before God our Father when our Lord Jesus comes again, with all His holy people. Ephesians 5:1. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do. Let that sink in for a second. Imitate God in everything you do because you are His children or His dear children. Live a life filled with love following the example of Christ. living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Worship, that expression is love, that expression is service, obedience, and walking in His ways. He loved us and offered Himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. And we refer back to Romans 12, 1 and 2. Offer yourselves a living sacrifice. You know, there's a movie I like. How many of you have ever seen Braveheart? Braveheart? Mel Gibson? Yeah. There's a line in that movie, and I shared this Monday night. I love it. It's a great line. It's Mel Gibson. He's talking in his brogue, whatever that accent is. And he says, every man dies. Not every man truly lives. We truly live when we're offering ourselves as a living sacrifice to Christ. That's when we're living. Because that's when we're fulfilling what God has intended for us. That's when we're fulfilling that intent, that purpose. Jesus drew people to Him with His holiness. Jesus drew people to Him with His holiness. We use our holiness, and I put it in high quotes. Aaron knows I hate that. Somehow, sometimes we'll be talking and like every other word is like, boom, boom. But I do mean to use that now. We use our holiness as an excuse to avoid people and as an excuse to push them away and to knock them down. That's what we use our holiness for. I can't talk to them. I can't do this. I'm not going to that place. Where was Jesus found most of the time? Sinners. Hanging out with sinners, eating with sinners. He'd be eating with us, wouldn't he? He'd be hanging out with us. That'd be pretty cool. See, we use holiness to push people away and avoid them. Jesus uses holiness to draw all men to Himself. The church points fingers and yells sinners. And if you're polite, we don't point and yell to their face. We do it behind their back. Jesus tells them to their face, you are loved and you are forgiven. Didn't we just read that we are to imitate God and Christ as our example? Yeah. Matthew 9, 2 and 7. Some people brought to Him, Jesus, a paralyzed man on a mat. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, be encouraged, my child, your sins are forgiven. But some of the teachers of religious law said to themselves, that's blasphemy. Does he think he's God? Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, why do you have such evil thoughts in your heart? That kind of hurts, actually. Why do you have such evil thoughts in your hearts? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat and go home. And the man jumped up and went home. Jesus has given this man life. He's given him healing. And what is the church doing? How dare you? Who do you think you are? They're using their holiness to drive people out, to push people away. And Christ is using it to heal and to make whole, physically and spiritually. The church used holiness to separate from people instead of separating from sin. Church uses holiness, used, I'm not past tense, church used holiness to separate from people instead of separating from sin. Holiness does not turn people off. Acting holier than thou does. Thinking you better than you are. The truth is, honest, biblical holiness is very attractive. It is very attractive. Holiness is wholeness, and everyone wants to be made whole. Everyone wants a positive change in their lives. Holiness is wholeness. People's lives are broken and need Jesus and the holiness He offers. If we're to imitate God and be that example of Christ, people should be coming to us, not running away from us. We should be drawing people to us if we're to imitate Christ. When I say draw to us, I'm not saying they're drawn to us. They're drawn to the Christ in us. That's sanctification. Remember Christ in me? Yeah? It's His sanctification and His holiness that offers hope and healing from the consequences of our sin. His love, His holiness in us, Holy Spirit fruit, is our sanctification and makes us real, authentic people. Others will receive it as we sincerely love and serve them. So this whole thing of sanctification, I tell you what, small little distraction. If you're going to help serve communion, come on over here now. A couple of couples are going to get up. Mike, you heading up, bud? Thank you, sir. Appreciate you guys doing this at the end of service. No, we did not forget communion. We just decided to do it towards the end. The cat's away, the mouse will play kind of thing, I guess. John chapter 13, verse 1. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that His hour had come to leave this world and return to His Father. He had loved His disciples during His ministry on earth, and now He loved them to the very end. After His death, burial, and resurrection, Paul made it clear to the church of Ephesus that love sanctifies us, setting us apart to love all people as Christ loved the world. So much of this we make about ourselves. We've even gone to the point of making church about us. And we choose our church by the style of music, by the personality of the preacher, by how much funny he is. We see a lot of that. Instead of finding a good Bible-based, solid word-teaching church that loves God, loves Christ, loves people, and just wants to serve them. But we've made church about us. And that pushes people away. If we make everything about Him, that will draw people to Him through us. Amen? Ephesians 1, 4, and 5. Even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy, sanctified, set apart, and without fault in His eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure, gave God great pleasure. His love alone is our sanctification, and it flows through us to others, and it gives Him great pleasure to provide it. And that is the conclusion of that. You guys stand to your feet, please. We're going to do communion now as part of the service towards the end. Had to kind of figure out how we were going to do this. Everything you have comes from God. Everything you have returns to God. Through your love, through your service, through your obedience, through walking in His ways. We don't separate ourselves from the world. We're to get in the world and dig in and get to work, showing people His love through our service, through our obedience, through our walking with Him. God is great and greatly to be praised. So we're going to worship through communion. I got to pass this out. Sorry. I got it, bud. I'm good. Appreciate it. So we're going to worship. Mike, I asked Mike to do this song. So let's just take a time and worship, and then we'll pray over this towards the end.
When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's warm, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking to my heart. I'm coming back to heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
Lift up this cracker that represents the body of Christ. God, we thank you so much for your Son, Christ Jesus, the name above every name, that beautiful name, that name that brings joy, peace, freedom, salvation. I thank you. Christ, we thank you for the life you lived. We do thank you, as odd as it may sound, for your death on a cross. We thank you even more for your resurrection. Oh God, thank you for that resurrection. Jesus, thank you for sitting at the right hand of your Father and interceding for us day and night throughout the rest of eternity until you choose to come back. You're advocating for us. Jesus, we thank you for that. We take this together. We lift up this cup of juice, which represents the blood of Christ that was shed to sign the new covenant. The new covenant of grace, the new covenant of love, the new covenant of life, the covenant that brings us back into right relationship with you, God. That we have this ability to worship you and to talk to you and to live our lives for you. We thank you for that blood. We thank you for this new covenant. We can just worship you with our lives. Everything about us, God. Everything about us, let it be worship. Our feet, our hands, our mouths, our minds, our thoughts, our hearts, God. We give to you. We lay them at your feet now as practice for eternity, God. Lord, we lift this up and we take this together. So I'm going to give you guys a chance to respond if you would like. This morning, if you have never asked Christ to be the Lord and Savior of your life, I'm going to give you an opportunity to come up and do that now. Romans says, if you believe in your heart that He is the Messiah, that He is Christ, and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord with your mouth, you will be saved. If you've never done that, I would like just to ask you to come up and we're going to pray with you, pray for you, pray over you, give you some information, have a little chit-chat if you'd like. But also, this morning, if there's things in your life you need to lay down, and I'm not talking the crown stuff, I'm talking the walk away from stuff, the get rid of it stuff, the things that we have to push aside to follow Christ. Things that creep back in, I would like to open the altar to you, and we were going to pray for you and pray with you as well. You know what? The altars are open too, man. If you just want to come up and practice laying down some worship, come on down too. We're here for you. But let me ask my deacons and my deacons to come down and pray with these that are up here, please.
Bring you more, bring you more.